All right, everyone. Welcome once again. Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern time. You know what that means. It's time that the Hoadster, Hody Johns, and myself, Big John, join you for another exciting episode of Free for All right here on Grumblings Media, grumblingsmedia.com. You could see the name right down there, right underneath my name, Hody. You could see it, grumblingsmedia.com. Also, feel free to check us out on any of our video streaming platforms, YouTube, X, Facebook, Rumble. You can also whenever you have some time, if you want to catch the replay of this or any of our other episodes, go to grumblingsmedia.com. We have all the links over there. As I mentioned at the top of the show, I'm being joined by my co-host and friend, Mr. Hody Johns. Hoadster, how you doing tonight?
Doing really well, thank you. I've been busy, but busy with all things that I like. I like when right now my life is full of doing things that I 10 out of 10 enjoy, and the only sadness I have is when I have to drop like a 9.5 out of 10 thing. And that is not an exaggeration. I truly do live the dream, as they say. Some people say that just to like as a passing phrase. It is embarrassingly true for me.
Well, you know, embarrassing or not, that's consider yourself blessed. And it's always good to hear someone say they're not only working, but enjoying what they do. So hopefully we tore enough people away from the opening kickoff of the NFL season, Eagles and Cowboys, which, of course, we were treated to, Hody, if I may go off on a tangent for 2 seconds.
I love sports. Hit it.
We had an ejection before the first snap of the game.
We did? I only started tuning in at the first snap. Oh my goodness.
The defensive tackle for the Jalen Carter for the Eagles ended up during TV timeout, went over and spit on Dak Prescott. So they just tossed him out of the game, which of course is good for my fantasy team because I have Javonte Williams, who's already scored 2 touchdowns. Running up the middle against the missing area where Jalen Carter would have been. But anyway,
maybe don't do that, guys.
That's for a different podcast. That's for the old Big John, who used to do nothing but sports shows. But now we're here to talk about Liberty. And one of the things we're going to talk about, Hody, that today was all in the news. I mean, we had it planned. We had this show planned a couple of days in advance. Mm-hmm. But lucky us. The schedule worked out, and it fell into our laps. And, of course, I'm talking about RFK being grilled on Capitol Hill today. And, you know, it was interesting. We've done an episode or two on RFK Jr. in previous, a while ago, Hody. And what's interesting is, I think both of us, while we can respect his wanting, quote, to get at the truth, I think that I don't want to put words in your mouth, but at least for me, I think he's not accomplishing his goal. I think he's, for the most part, he's a chaos agent in HHS. I don't know that he's doing anything in particular that's improving the lot of the healthcare situation in the United States. But let me just quickly read this off. Today, RFK testified before the Senate Finance Committee, and Hody, this was what is becoming increasingly common now in Congress, a very contentious sort of testimony between RFK and the senators who were grilling him. And even though, as expected, Democratic senators were tough on him, it's not like he got an easy path from Republican senators either. Like the grilling seemed to be somewhat, not entirely, but somewhat bipartisan. Basically there was a lot of back and forth. Well, before I get into specifics, why don't I let you talk for a second or two, Hody? What were your initial impressions overall, 10,000 foot summary of the RFK hearings today?
To me, it's really simple. He was not sworn in, which is really odd.
Yes.
When you're giving testimony. And the fact that he was allowed to not do that is one of the biggest big government steps I have ever seen. Allowing, like, at least Tulsi Gabbard, when she lied under oath, was oath. And at least we now are able to say, hey, you lied under oath, and we get to look at that as an ethical violation. Allowing RFK, already known liar when it comes to, I didn't tell people not to get vaccinated, and yeah. I've never said that vaccines cause autism. Like, already, like, there's no way that we can look at this guy and be like, this is a man who needs to be sworn under oath. And they under oath. As far as my impression of the back and forth themselves, I can boil it down pretty easily. He just said basically that he's trying to get at the truth, and they're like, so all these other people who say you're specifically pushing an agenda are lying? All these thousands of other people who are saying you are trying to manufacture a narrative are lying? And he just said, yeah, they're all liars, and I'm the one telling the truth. Well, that's very convenient when he's not under oath. And so that's my thought about it.
Yeah, and that's like a pretty decent summary. But we're going to dig into it a little bit. We don't have to get into – like, I really don't want this to turn into a debate necessarily – on the merits of a lot of what he says, because a lot of what he says are you know what he means, but much like, I guess he's been mentored by Trump, there's enough deniability and weasel words in what he says that if ever his feet are held to the fire, he can weasel his way out of what he was trying to put across. But one of the more interesting sort of exchanges today occurred with Ron Wyden, Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon. He's a Democrat. He's been on that committee for 20, 25 years. And basically, to your point, what was interesting was Wyden attempted to get Kennedy formally sworn in. And the committee chairman, Republican from Idaho, Mike Crapo, C-R-A-P-O, because I don't think it would be pronounced Crapo, but I could be wrong, Crapo, denied the request to have him formally sworn in. So to your point, that seems kind of strange to me. And it kind of snowballed from there, you know, where Wyden basically accused Kennedy of causing chaos, that in his 203 days as HHS secretary, to your point, over 1,000 staff walked out. He's been cutting programs left and right. He's eliminated entire departments. And it's the feeling you get is it's not just to save money. It's not a DOGE thing. It really is that he is putting in acolytes that share his viewpoints on a lot of the pseudoscience that he seems to be pushing, which was very interesting, right? And to your point, maybe expected, super contentious. But here's one of the things that I think is symptomatic of the way Kennedy operates, right? Which, frankly, again, I'll even go one step further, Hody, and say I think it's symptomatic of the way the entire Trump administration likes to deal with numbers and definitions of words, which is they play very fast and loose with both. So the first thing was that he said, this is a claim, he said chronic disease rates in children rose to 76%. Now, this was sort of a retort. It was sort of like this political grandstanding that he threw back at Wyden, saying like, hey, why are you here saying I'm a chaos agent? You've been sitting on this committee for 20, 25 years, and you've done nothing to address the increase in chronic disease, the increase especially in children that rose to 76%. But here's the only issue. And a lot of people, you see them on Twitter, Hody, right? You and I have been on Twitter today. You see a lot of, go get him, RFK. RFK isn't taking anybody's crap, man. Fire. He's spitting fire. He's spitting the truth. Here's the problem. People just accept that 76 that falls out of his stupid mouth as fact, as gospel, right? When in fact, there is no basis to the claim that 76% of children currently suffer from chronic diseases. It's just not true. There is a 2018 study, for example, from the AMA that said 27% of U.S. children had at least one chronic condition, and the two major ones would be obesity and asthma. Now, I'm not saying that 27% is something to, you know, be super proud of, Hody, but it is an exaggeration to cite a number three times as large as the nearest quote, official number that can be verified, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, when we're talking about that data specifically, I believe it uses caregiver and self-reported. This is not medical, right? This is just what people say. And one of the things that the report itself notes, which is why you always have to double check when RFK says anything, because this is something we've talked about on this show before, is that the report itself says, hey, these increases in numbers are probably due to people having access to being able to report these kinds of things, right? Like, predictably, when more people are able to report their chronic conditions, you're going to get a rise in the rate of chronic conditions. If there's an underserved community, then that community is all of a sudden going to start, when they get access to, reporting things to their healthcare providers. And that's what we're going off of here. So this is not a data-driven thing. This is self-admitted, right? Like, this is, and there's something to be said. I'm not saying we toss out the entire thing when people self-report. It's worth talking about. It's worth discussing. But we need to remember what this is and look at the situation that the study is in. Look at what the study itself says. The study admits its own limitations. That's part of the strength of a study. You limit it, right? Like, right. And so you say, this is the limit of the study. This is kind of what we're dealing with. Is it highlighting a lot of chronic problems with children in America? Yes, there are more of them than we previously thought. This is why our lives are getting longer, minus the COVID era, but our lives are getting longer than they were in like the 30s, right? We recognize more things and we're taking better care of those things. That's why we're not dying at 30. This isn't a problem when we find out there's more issues. This is an opportunity to create more solutions.
Well, and again, that's to your point, to my point, I was trying to sort of, and you've been much more eloquent than I have, which is that RFK, again, even if you take the self-reported studies, he's citing a statistic before a Senate committee that is exaggerated by 300%. I mean, when you go from 27 to 76%, that's, you know, even if you take all the limitations you just cited into account, let's say he just said, oh, well, I forgot to footnote those limitations. Fair enough. But even then, his number is super exaggerated. It's three times. And again, this is in line with a lot of what the Trump administration does. Oh, we have no inflation. Well, yeah, we do, but it's just that you're not reporting it, right? That sort of thing. It seems to be very much in line with what this administration does. The other thing I've noticed about the chronic disease thing is he cited to invoke memories of his uncle, JFK, saying, in 1960, we didn't have this kind of obesity, this chronic disease rate among children or adults, and it's only grown. And as a matter of fact, you know, this is a sign of the government doing things wrong. Well, actually, if you go back, why did he pick 1960? Because there was no data kept on chronic disease in 1960. You have estimates at best. Here's another thing. The definition of chronic disease has shifted. For example, obesity was not always considered a chronic disease. And when it did start to creep into the literature as a chronic disease, the definition of what constituted obese as opposed to overweight also has shifted over the 60-year, 65-year period that RFK likes to cite. So again, it's when he throws out these numbers, he says them with authority, he does it with indignity, right? He'll be like, how dare you say it? You can't trust any of the numbers that fall out of his mouth at all, Hody.
Right. The data that we do have from 1960, they were living an average of 69.7 years, and now we're currently at 73.2. Yeah. Like, it's one of those where it's like, do we want to recognize that, like, maybe there's a bigger obesity problem? Absolutely, right? Sure. Like, you and I aren't CDC fans. We're not big government health fans. We're not trying to like purport bureaucracy or trust the experts or anything like that. But we do trust data. Like, when data is real, right? Like, we have these observable things. And to note that we actually maybe have a bigger obesity problem, but a longer life expectancy means we're doing a lot of things right. Trying to unravel everything to go back to the 1960s. That's shaving 4 years off of everybody's life. Yeah, that is not a good thing to do.
Or in the president's case, trying to get back to the 1700s.
Yeah. But
Nice.
Yeah, and that's the situation, right? It's similar to what his vaccine thing is. Like, oh, more people are dying from vaccines. Well, before vaccines, more people were dying, period, right? The life expectancy, again, in 100 years, if you go back and look at the data that does exist on a longevity, lifespan, in 100 years, it's almost doubled. When you stop and think about that, in 100, 125 years, life expectancy has almost doubled. To then go back and say, oh, well, everything we've been doing is wrong, it's all a scam by Big Pharma, is just, I think, the height of disingenuous, it's statistical manipulation for dummies, because it's not even very good manipulation. It's just, you know, really nonsensical stuff. And again, the reason I focused on this exchange with Wyden is because, A, RFK seemed genuinely upset because he requested time to reply, even though his time was over. He was granted the time by the Republican chairman of the committee. And you could see this wasn't a prepared statement. You know, it was something that he's, let me tell you something. And in a lot of that, a lot of the truth comes out. And it also shows you his lack of, I think, my contention, understanding about what it is he's trying to regulate. Because another part of his thing was that he claimed infant mortality has increased for the first time in 20 years. Well, that's not quite right either, because according to the CDC, his own agency, the U.S. infant mortality rate in 2022 was 5.6 per 1,000 live births, up slightly from 5.4 in 2021, but it's not a significant or statistical trend, right? Now, the other thing you have to understand is, when you say something like infant mortality, Hody, there's a lot of factors that go into it. And as I was digging through some of the numbers, I'll toss this out to you. Let's play a little bit of Jeopardy here, Hody. What would you say might be something that contributes to infant mortality, largely speaking? Like as a causative agent, if it were to fluctuate and go up.
Sure. Fetal alcohol syndrome, smoking and hard drugs while the child's in the womb.
Right. Like, let's say, let's put that under the category of bad behavior on the part of the mother.
Yes, sure.
Yeah.
Car accidents. I mean, yeah.
Right, right, right. And typically you would be right. Things like that definitely do contribute to infant mortality rates. Here's something else, though, that probably you wouldn't guess. But as states were, as the right to abortion was given back to the states, and a lot of red states outlawed abortion, meaning poor women, poor families in those states could not get access to abortions that they otherwise would have gotten. Infant mortality rates went up because those tended to be kids who were born to parents who could not economically sustain them, or B, had the bonded interest in seeing them flourish, right? Now, that my statement, by the way, is a statistical one. I am not arguing for more abortion. I think we've made our positions clear in prior shows on abortion. I'm not pro-abortion. You are, I think, if I remember correctly.
Politically, yes.
Politically.
Yeah.
Not personally, politically, right.
I'm pro-choice. I am a pro-life person individually, but I think that the best way to make a culture of pro-life is to allow women to choose and to encourage men to be there for them. I mean,
And by the way, I didn't mean this to be an argument on abortion, but what I'm trying to say is, for the Republicans to claim that any perceived, which by the way doesn't exist, it, like we said, statistically insignificant shift during the COVID years of infant mortality, to be blamed on Biden, ironically, is just the opposite. There is a statistical argument to be made that that infant mortality rate shifted upward ever so slightly. And again, as a data scientist, I would tell you insignificant change, statistically speaking. But if you were to count it, one of the reasons might be is that you outlawed abortion in states that have some of the poorest women trying to give birth who otherwise would have gotten abortions. So now that adds to the infant mortality rate, because you have a lot of babies who, unfortunately, and it is an unspeakable tragedy that an infant might die because they didn't have the proper nutrition. They didn't have the proper access to prenatal care, postnatal care, and things of that nature. But RFK never mentioned that. He just squarely laid the blame on the Biden administration, which I don't understand, because the implication, even though he didn't say it directly, Hody, I don't think, the implication was that it was the vaccines that may have caused this increase in infant mortality, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's right. That's, of course, the implication. Everything he's doing is making that implication. We're going to get into some of his implications about vaccines and stuff later. But, yeah, like, we know what he's going for. We have his history. We know who he is.
Right.
We know who the person who he tapped to investigate if vaccines cause autism. We know what his beliefs are. He just fired the entire, like, CDC board and replaced them all with...
All 17.
Right, all 17 of them, and replaced them all with his people, right? Like, all people that believe what he believes, you know, the anti-vaxxers. And so the idea that he's like, I'm not anti-vax, what he said to Wyden, I just depoliticized it. It was already political. I just made it not political. Right, because being an anti-vaxxer is totally non-political. Listen, something else I want to, before we wrap up on this discussion, I just want to throw out there, with life expectancy, this is one thing that, like, we correctly tore Michael Moore a new one over. When he went to Cuba, and it's like, no infant mortality here. There must be doing so many things better. They don't report a lot of what we report. In America, a lot of times you miscarry, and we actually, like, write it down. To your point, when we talked about, like, the crackdowns on abortions, we investigated more of them. And so we chalked up a lot of these miscarriages. We gave them social security numbers. We gave them date of birth and dates of death. Whereas in the past, when we wouldn't do an investigation, we would just chalk it up to a normal miscarriage, then there is nothing to document, right? So then that's not a case of infant mortality. Infant mortality rates are worse in a lot of very good countries, because if you, like, a child just dies in childbirth in a lot of these other countries, they just go, well, that was never a person, right? Like, we tried and it's dead. Whereas here, all of a sudden, you're giving birth, like, right after your first trimester, and they'll try their best to keep this thing alive and keep it alive for as long as they can and give it a, like I said, name, social security number, date of death, everything like that, and treat it like a person. Now, I'm not advocating one way or the other, right, that we should, like, spend these personally, I think it's great that we try to save lives if we want those lives, right? Like, I think that's a good thing. But we should not punish people. It's very important that we don't punish ourselves by trying our best,
right?
Like, by trying to keep these people and say, these are just, like, the numbers. And so what RFK is doing is actually taking a very good thing, that we try so hard to save so many of these lives that don't work out, and making that look like a bad thing.
Right. And before we go on to the next subject, I want to remind everyone the chat is open. So wherever you are, YouTube, X, Facebook, Rumble, feel free to drop us any questions, comments, or feedback. We love hearing from everyone. As always, there's only one rule. Please, no four-letter words if you want your comments to make it onto the screen. All right, everyone. So, Hody, why don't you introduce the next topic relating to Mr. RFK? Oh, hold on. Did I catch you unawares there? Let's talk about the 1,000 plus health workers that walked out and demand the resignation of RFK.
Gotcha. Yeah. So this past week, the reason we even were going to talk about this anyway is he had over a thousand healthcare workers demand his resignation. They had a bunch of. So outside of, like, obviously he fires his board, so they left.
Right.
But outside of the people he fired, got a lot of people in the senior administration just resigning, right? Like, I think it was nine that signed the letter for him to resign. I believe it's three of his senior administrators have resigned, and just saying he's turning this into a joke.
Right.
That he is pushing this agenda, he's ignoring data, and we can't, obviously we don't want to put our names on something that suddenly, like, what did the CDC do when they killed a bunch of people, when they got rid of the polio vaccine, right? Like, who was responsible for that? We don't want our names on that, right? So, yeah. And I just checked. It was, three CDC officials resigning. So what we've got here is, on top of the mass letter, the people he fired, the people leaving out, the CDC has experienced turnover like you wouldn't believe. And this isn't – there's a proposition to shrink the health HHS by like about 6%, the CDC maybe a little bit for next year. But this year they're spending the same resources. They were – or they're a little bit more, but they're on the same schedule that they were from last year. And so what we've got is fewer people spending a lot more money to – and looking at a lot of different things that – frankly, you're kind of not their business. And then also, well, it would be their business if these studies weren't already conducted. And then what they're doing is not wanting to look into a lot of things that is their business. That's something we're going to get to in a minute. But we should probably get your opinion first when we talk about all this shakeup.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of this, I have to admit, my wife, I've said before, is a microbiologist, right? So she's super interested, and by the way, not RFK's biggest fan at all.
No.
It goes back years, right? But she came up to me and she said, you know who you should get on your show? You should get Dr. Dimitri on. And of course, Dr. Dimitri, she was referring to Dr. Dimitri Daskalakis, who is, I believe, the one of the senior officials at CDC. And he's been very outspoken. And he was one of the people who was on TV saying, hey, we've lost our, you know, under RFK, there's no such thing as scientific integrity anymore, you know. And he was relating a lot of the issues that you were saying. He led the walkout. He resigned. He was making the TV show rounds. And it was interesting, the reaction from MAGA, right? The first reaction was, hey, these guys are anti-RFK, therefore they suck, they should go, who cares if they leave? The second reaction was, because they also, and to be fair, they also, you know, they asked for the resignation of Dr. Deborah Houry, H-O-U-R-Y. She was the chief medical officer, Daskalakis, like I mentioned, and Dr. Dan Jernigan, all resigned because Susan Menares was fired after refusing to comply with vaccine policy revisions that RFK wanted. So this was the type of thing where RFK comes up with some nutty new schedule that he wants implemented. The top four people at CDC said, no, that's really not a good idea. We don't want to do it. The top person was fired. The other three resigned in support. Aside from immediately attacking them as potentially being Democrats and liberals and all that, then it was their personal lives that got attacked. It was typical MAGA. And the reason Daskalakis in particular got singled out is because he is a very out there gay man. There's a lot of, let's face it, racy photos of him participating in leather events and whatnot that's in social media that he himself put out, right? Now, should this matter? Probably not. But it is a negative look, Hody, when you're trying to invoke the imagery of, say, the integrity of CDC. Talk to me about a little bit, before we move on to the details, talk to me a little bit about that interplay of the image and how the president's minions treated these people who in their estimation are trying to stand up for the scientific integrity of CDC.
Yeah, well, as soon as you fell out of the government's good graces, you can expect your personal life to be on parade, of course. This is unfortunately, this touches us libertarians, because somebody who, before he went full Trumpy on us, Rand Paul was really good about this, and Rand Paul still occasionally has some libertarian right. takes, although he is distancing himself from libertarianism. But this is somebody who was like, his lifestyle disqualifies him from serving in the government, you know, yeah. that he believes that it's not possible to have a bondage situation with other adults or something like that. And look, if we're disqualifying people because of a promiscuous lifestyle, we are absent a president of the United States at the moment. So it's obviously partisan. It's obviously ridiculous, but it's something that we do have to talk about, right? Like, because we need to be basically completely clean in order for us. I mean, they're already looking at into the lives of these women that came forward with the Epstein allegations, right? Oh, their lives yeah. are getting overturned, yeah. right? Like, and already, like, the mainstream MAGA is tearing these women apart. You saw Matt Walsh and Michael Knowles go after both these people, even willing to make up facts. Both of them got fact-checked just yesterday. Like, they're willing to lie about you in order to tear you down. And so that's something that, like, I think we have to kind of come to grips with. So even if it's when it's something like the truth, it's always going to end up looking a little worse. And it shouldn't be any of their business. And so this is a guy we should be asking, was this a guy whose medical expertise was any good? Listen, I had a lot of problems with the way the HHS was run during the COVID years. I would love for us to be like, hey, this person got fired because they suggested this and there was no evidence for it and this was bad. Like, instead it's just, oh, were they pro-vaccine? Were they pro-mRNA? Gone, right? Like, there needs to be some room, I think, especially we as free marketers, for these people who said, hey, listen, maybe people deserve the right to experiment. Maybe people at risk. We know this mRNA vaccine isn't maximum safe, right? Some people say that. But people deserve the right if it could save some lives. And I'm sorry, guys, statistically, it did save a lot of people's lives, depending on, of course, many factors, right? Like, there was a group. Was it bad to recommend it to everybody? Absolutely, right? Super bad mistake. But we need to be able to have the room to say, hey, listen, the people who allowed us to get that vaccine, to make that choice for ourselves, are now getting fired. That's hugely problematic, right? Like, that this is a market thing for, you know, you asked specifically, we as libertarians, what are we thinking? This is a huge problem for us because they already have too much power over medicine, and RFK is saying, yep, we need to keep that power. We shouldn't have ever recommended that people be allowed to trust themselves to take something experimental for their own diseases. We should have never done that, and we're going to go ahead and cut down on it.
Well, I agree with you, Hoster, and part of it here is also something else, right? And again, I always bifurcate government, right? There's the part of government that actively looks to control you, that actively is trying to get up on you, is trying to lord over you, trying to gain more power for itself. That's the one that almost everybody would refer to, you know, colloquially or conspiratorially as the deep state, as you know, whatever, the QAnon, whatever, all that nonsense, right? Then there's the other part of government that are career bureaucrats, and I don't mean that necessarily pejoratively in this case. You've got a lot of scientists who the only thing they're interested in is getting to their labs, getting to their computers, and working on whatever it is that motivates them to try to do that. And what you're instead finding is that they're getting the brunt of this, as if the microbiologists, the virologists, the immunologists that work at CDC, at HHS, and other government facilities, that they are the ones setting the policy, that they're out to deceive the world, that they're the ones, if you're of this mind, benefiting from big pharma stuffing their pockets with cash, which is simply not the case. Most of those people are apolitical. The true scientists are apolitical. Hey, let me tell you something. I know a few real scientists that simply do not care about politics, right? They don't watch the news. They don't give a shit about the news. Anytime you mention RFK, they all get the same look on their face, Hody. It's that look of, oh man, I think that sushi I had for lunch was bad. They all have that look on their face when you bring up RFK, right? Nobody wants RFK speaking on their behalf if you're a scientist, okay? So we have to learn to bifurcate what is big government, what is controlling government, and what is actual people. I have no problem if someone says, I don't want the government forcing a vaccine on me. I get it. I support you in that. But that doesn't mean that I have to support the misinformation and the nonsense that comes out of people like RFK. Before we continue, just want to look in the chat here for a second. Our buddy Free from the Are You Smarter Than a Politician show, with my co-host, of course, being a former champion of that show. Free says, you should have Dr. Charles Belay on to talk about healthcare. He had a great healthcare platform when he ran for the LP presidential nomination. You know, Free, you're absolutely right. And let me let you in on something. Up until about an hour before showtime, we really thought Dr. Belay might be able to come on and discuss this. I texted him. But having taken the Hippocratic Oath, he said, Big John, I've got surgery Friday morning. There's no way I could your show is way past my bedtime. I don't think I could be on. So Dr. Belay promised us, though, that he'll come back in a future episode to let us know what his thoughts are on this. But yeah, now Hody, just to sort of tie this up a little bit, do you find it at all telling or ridiculous or both that RFK goes out of his way when he weaves his vaccine nonsense, anti-vax nonsense and mythology, that he only seems to blame the Biden administration? For example, he doesn't seem to have any sort of blame towards his boss, Donald Trump, who, by the way, was president when the lockdowns occurred, was president when Operation – he to this day, he says, I need a Nobel Prize for Operation Warp Speed. And I think there was that little bit of a funny exchange where one of the senators asked RFK, do you think Donald Trump deserves a Nobel Prize for Operation Warp Speed? And you could almost see the smoke coming out of RFK's ears because it's a logical conundrum that he's in. It's a logical fallacy. It's a paradox that he finds himself in. Talk to me a little bit about that, Hoster.
Sure. This was a guy who offered his services to Kamala Harris before going to Donald Trump. He has no consistency about this. He's willing to support whoever as long as he can get his agenda done. And Donald Trump, to his, lack of credit, doesn't have really an agenda when it comes to Americans' health. He doesn't care, right? I mean, look at the shape he's in. He certainly doesn't care about the obesity crisis.
Right.
You know, this is not somebody, this is not somebody who cares. And so what this is a political power move. You know, this is something that they're acting on behalf of special interests, right? They're obviously, you know, what's funny is people want somebody who's disentangled from the health to, you know, big government health or big corporate health or whatever to be talking about these things. And sure, RFK is not that, right? Like, there's a lot of people who are like, oh, sure, vaccine misinformation, this will make it so people have to require these expensive treatments as opposed to these other ones. Oh, absolutely. I mean, I should probably withhold what I'm going to say until we get to the next topic that we've got here.
Okay, withhold it.
It matters. All right.
Yeah, build it up a little bit. Build up that suspense there, Hody. But yeah, so it is a little bit crazy when you start to think about RFK, how he refuses to have any sort of shade thrown Donald Trump's way when we all know. See, and by the way, this is something that the so-called libertarians who are actually MAGA plants, they will constantly say, well, you know, medical freedom, this and that, but they'll still support Trump. They get this amnesia about whether it's Dave Smith or Clint Russell or any of these people. That, hey, who was president when the first thing? I mean, what are they saying? That Trump is so ignorant that everyone lied to him and he believed it. He didn't ask for data. He didn't ask for several opinions. He only went with the one that made him happy. Well, what are we talking about here?
In his inauguration speech for his second term, he said the way he's going to handle immigration is by being big and authoritative and powerful, just like he was for COVID. He said
right.
He's going to tackle immigration the same way he handled COVID.
Right.
He is still bragging about it. He is still bragging about it. Like, this is not something that is like in his past that was like, I just was really proud for a moment. Like, this,
right.
Oh, I made a mistake. Like, he is still proud of locking down. He was like, I was the one telling them to lock down. I was the one encouraging them to lock down first, right? He wanted credit for all of that. And he wanted credit for reopening too. He wants credit for everything, right?
Well, like, thank God he's a glory hound, right? He's such an unabashed glory hound that he can't even lie as the narrative shifts, because if it means that he doesn't get credit for something he thinks he... So in this case, you're absolutely right. Like, he literally thinks they owe him a Nobel Prize. And listen, maybe in some weird context, you could convince me that he does to some extent, right? But if you hold that position, you can't simultaneously hold that only Joe Biden and his administration are the ones that have you put off of the whole vaccine schedule. Our friend Joe Hanush, another government administration telling me what's, quote, healthy. Yeah, and Joe, you know, I Hody and I have talked about this. I'm a little split on that, right? Because a long time ago, I saw a Stanford lecture with Milton Friedman. Obviously, this was years ago when he was still alive. And the question was posed to him, you know, as a libertarian, what do you make of the FDA? And he said, look, as a libertarian, as a small L libertarian, I am against the FDA as a regulatory body. He goes, but if you were to have some sort of halfway house solution, he goes, the FDA should go back to what it was, which was an advisory board, an advisory committee, meaning they could give opinions on the safety of drugs, but they had no power to regulate drugs, which to me sounds reasonable, right? I'm not an anarchist, so I'm not looking for, like, everybody free for all, despite the title of the show. So I would look at it that way. Like, if you had a CDC that could release statements on the safety of drugs, on the safety of protocols, on the safety of schedules, that alone would be enough. Then people really could make informed decisions. But right now you've got high school dropouts who are just listening to their favorite social media influencer telling them what vaccines to take. That's crazy in my mind. I mean, yes, I wouldn't ban any of that. I would not curb anyone's free speech. But just on a practical intellectual level, that's nuts. Having, like, getting your information from cat turd as to what vaccines your kid should take, that's crazy. Why would we want any of that, Hody? Oh, fix your mic, Hody. You're on mute.
Sorry. Just because there were some things the conspiracy theorists got right. Right, like,
yes,
the Wuhan lab occasionally being like, hey, what the heck happened to WTC7, right? Like, there's some good questions that they ask. Does not that mean they're right about everything or even most things. And there are things that they have proposed that have been absolutely debunked. They're absolutely ridiculous. And so the thing is what they're doing is they're taking the fact that they were right about something that the government did try to cover up, like the Wuhan lab, right? And saying, like, we were right about that. Now maybe the vaccine killed more people than it saved. Like, there is a level of delusion that you need to do to embrace something like that. If the vaccine killed more people, then I'd be the first in line saying that it did, right? Like, but facts are facts, right? Like, we have to live in reality. These people don't live in reality. This is something that I'm reading this book called The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich. It is 5 hours longer than the Bible on Audible.
Oh, wow.
And so it's extensive, right? But one of the things that they noted that kind of gave me a haunting feeling was that during the Nuremberg trials, when they were forced to answer for what happened, they had to admit that they didn't live in reality. And it looked ridiculous out in the world.
Right.
But within their own little society, they encouraged each other, right? Like, it made total sense. And this is one of those things that it's like, you can get away with it to a YouTube audience or something, but you're not going to get away with this in, like, the real world. And you look like a loon, and you deserve to look like a loon. Unfortunately, as is so often the case, and the reason people like you and me are libertarians, the loons tend to seek this political power, right? Like, this is what they want to do, is say, I have this thing that is untrue and not many people are going to believe it, but I'm going to push until I can get it done. We look at something, another book, The Guarded Gate, right? We look at how immigration restrictionism and how that relied on faulty, unscientific, very bad data. But they needed that bad data in order to have big government. And so they said, how we got to try for decades over and over and over to push this lie, to get people to invest in this lie, until suddenly people start repeating it a little bit and just say, well, I don't know if vaccines say, like, I don't know about the polio vaccine anymore. You know about the polio vaccine. We know about the polio vaccine, guys. We don't need to start questioning that again. The people making you question that, listen, I'm fine with questioning it. Go ahead and question it. But if you come back with some alt-right white supremacist YouTuber's data as opposed to, like, all the other data, then you've made a choice, right? You weren't asking a question. You wanted to have an answer, and you simply sought that answer.
Yeah.
And so this is kind of the issue here. And it's something that really does, in general, scare me about America right now, is that and this is certainly not a Republican only thing, we are willing to embrace a lie as long as it suits our ends. and just kind of colloquially go along with it in all of our circles. It's not just a political theater lie. Watching them lie has always been a thing.
Right.
But taking their lie and making that part of the audience, that's pretty new, right? Like, Americans have been fighting against this for a long time, and it feels like we've kind of lost the will to fight against it recently.
It does. And listen, if I hear one more person tell me, stop appealing to authority, this isn't a logical didactic we're trying to get to, folks. You appeal to authority in the absence of your own expertise in the subject matter, right? I'm not quoting cat turd on vaccine numbers. I'll quote Dr. Daskalakis. I'll quote a PhD. I'll quote someone who's made this their life's mission for 30 years. You know why? Because I'm not an immunologist. I'm not, you know what I mean? Please hold the, you're appealing to authority. Yeah, there are times when appealing to authority works. There's a reason why we have this separation of specialties in life, right? You don't go to an electrician and ask their opinion on how to fix your toilet. He may have the right answer, but he's not a plumber. I'd rather go to a plumber. 99 times out of 100, I'll get a better answer there. All right, Odie.
The subject is so far above our heads, right? Like, yes. And it's important when we talk about this. Like, when we talk about global warming, yes. There are people who spend 20-plus years in the field who have these debates that are so far away from, like, the debates that the common people are having.
Yeah.
And you don't have to appeal to them because, obviously, yes, some people with 20-plus years of experience will lie. But we should be able to examine their data and test it for truth. This is the beauty of science, right? Like, to be able to be like, does what they say hold up? If we were appealing to authority, we would just say, look at his PhD, therefore it's true. What we're saying is, here is information that's true. Oh, look, here's a bunch of people with PhDs that confirm why this is true and how it is true.
Right.
Virology is so far above our heads.
Right.
Like I was trying to prepare for this,
yeah.
And I got into this discussion on are viruses living things. Hugely contentious topic, right? Like, among virologists, right? I'm not smart enough for my opinion on that. I'm not informed enough for my opinion on that to be taken seriously, right? I can only point to other people. These are smart people smarter than me that disagree with each other, and I just got to get out of the way and let it happen, right? But
right.
What I can do is take what they're looking at, hear their explanations, and see who seems more reasonable.
Yeah, I hear you on that. Listen, before we go on to the next topic, let me get this up because we got to do a little bit of this. And, of course, I'm talking about Live Free, people. Live Free. Buy yourselves a free-for-all T-shirt. Be a good libertarian. Classic black and gold colors there, Hody. Simple message. You don't even see our dumb brand on this. Live Free. Scan the QR code. Get yourselves a T-shirt in all sizes. Go ahead and do that. Or if you want to later, go to shop.grumblingsmedia.com, shop.grumblingsmedia.com if that's easier to remember. Or if you feel like taking a picture of this QR code, feel free. That's our got the wrong one on that. Let me hide that. There you go.
I like them too. We like the Blitz guys.
We like the Blitz guys. If you want their shirt, we're okay. You can get their shirt as well. Let's just check the comments real quick. Free says we were talking about Trump wanting his Nobel Prize. He goes on track for 100 bombings of Somalia in 2025. Nobel Peace Prize would be insane.
It looks like they actually are going to rename the Department of Defense Department of
Department of War. Yeah, that was one of my tweets during this week.
It's unbelievable.
It's just crazy. Sarabella, this is right-wing weaponization of left-wing opposition to hierarchies, but they don't make exceptions for expertise and wisdom. Yeah, I'll go along with that. Sarah and everyone else, I'm reduced. I feel like such an old man. I am an old man. Let's get that out of the way, Hody. But one of the things I find myself saying a lot of lately is, like, can't people just be reasonable anymore? Like, it just seems to me that we have to find the most extreme ends of the pendulum swings right now and stake out positions here instead of here. And I don't mean centrist politically. I mean, let's just be reasonable, right? Can we all agree that people who have been studying viruses and have been studying vaccines for 20, 25, 30 years, you know, just like a guitarist who's played guitar for, you know, the requisite 10,000 hour rule is probably going to be a better guitarist than somebody who picked it up last week. It's just, that's the way the world works. Not everyone is an Einstein or a prodigy like that. So let's all just agree to that, hopefully. Free. Getting the government out of healthcare would lead to private solutions like underwriters' laboratories evaluating healthcare solutions. Yeah, a lot of people have said that, free, something like a Consumer Reports. But for the medical industry, sure. We have examples of self-policing regulatory bodies. Like, hey, something as simple as project management, right? You get yourself a PMP. Project manager professional certificate, and they are super tight with those certificates. You can't just buy one. You have to take the course. You have to take a very stringent test. You got to maintain it for like 10 years. So that, you know, so when you see someone that has a PMP for something like project management, you say, oh, I have a little bit more faith that this person might be a good project manager. It doesn't mean that you don't have good project managers without PMPs, but I agree with you. 100%. And then Hody, Sarah says something you probably agree with. Hatred is more motivating than love. I don't know. Do you agree with that?
I mean, somebody loves the love first Christians. I don't like to think that. I think if you have a genuine love, it's nothing will motivate you more, right? Like if you love your family, I could hate my neighbor all day, but I'm going to do what's best for my family before I, you know, kill my neighbor and go to jail, right? Like, I think love keeps us together a lot. What Sarah is saying, I think in essence, is something that is true. Like, we are, I believe, like 80 times more likely. It used to be 8 times more likely to interact with bad, yes, with things that make us upset than things that we,
yeah,
like.
It's a marketing rule.
And so that was before the social media phenomenon. And after that, it's exploded. Like, it's so much worse now. There's a great, not a book, I know I recommend a lot of those, articles about this by Jonathan Haidt. I think it's called Why the Last Decade of Politics Has Been Uniquely Stupid. But there's actually great research about this, about how it started off like kind of bad, and we have just made it worse and worse. Yeah, Sarah just said she has a marketing degree, so that makes sense. And yeah, it's politically motivating, absolutely. When we talk about politics, we're in the realm of hatred, right? We are, yeah, in the realm of, I mean, politics, they're not supposed to do anything, right? That's supposed to be the market. So we're only in the business of punishment. Right. When we're dealing with politics, what don't we want done? What do we want to make sure doesn't happen? And so hatred is obviously going to gravitate around politics, because what do we not want done? Well, some people don't want gay people around. They don't want black people around, immigrants around. So, I mean, sometimes you might think it's reasonable. I don't want murderers around. I don't want pedophiles around. But it's always going to be a hatred of something that motivates you to get involved in the political realm. And yeah, so like I believe I agree with the essence of what she's saying. God is love, and so it would be sacrilege for me to say anything is more powerful than love. That is obviously my man, JC. I can't go against him.
Well, but, I think part, yeah, of it is that – I think it might be fairer to say that anger is an energy, right? It's, if I could rip off Johnny Rotten there for a second. But anger is an energy, and to Sarah, she says he has a degree in marketing. I don't know if Sarah, tell me – name check me here. I believe it was Kroloff who said, you know – when it comes to word of mouth, when it gets to what gets people talking, it's always the negative stuff. That's why companies will spend 100 times more to get bad reviews erased than to promote good reviews, because good reviews just don't stick with us as individuals. Bad news sticks with us and spreads more like a contagion. So I see what you're saying, Hody. Like, maybe in terms of action, we want positivity towards action. But in terms of energy, in terms of motivation, I would sometimes say that anger, not hatred necessarily, but anger is definitely a very, very, very strong energy. All right. Hody, let me wrap it up on this. I know we've talked a little bit about a lot of things surrounding RFK and what's going on at CDC. But something else that was interesting, it was a little bit buried. But again, thanks. One of the few positive things I'll ever say about President Trump is that he'll tell you what's on his mind. There's no necessarily, there's no 5D chess going on, despite what his supporters say. And he said on Truth Social, he wants Bobby Kennedy to get to the bottom of things. Were the vaccines a good thing or not? I want to know. And if not, why not? You know. So how do you think that plays out? How do you think that plays out with RFK? We already saw that some people, even if they have the best intent, I'm thinking Tulsi Gabbard. If you remember around the time that you had that Signal chat issue and all that, she came out and said a couple of things that were anti-Trump, right? She tried to do the right thing. Trump basically said she's wrong. If she said anything differently, she's still wrong. The next day, it's like, yes, boss, no, boss. Oh, by the way, let's all start trying to say Obama's a traitor, right? So the narrative shifted. All of a sudden, it's like immediately what Trump fell out of his mouth. We've seen it happen with Hegseth. We've seen it happen with Kash Patel, with Dan Bongino when it came to the Epstein files, with Pam Blondie on just about everything, right? As soon as Trump flaps his gums or puts something out on Truth Social, they all fall in line. Do you think Trump's comment of, I want to know the truth, I did a great thing with Operation Warp Speed, why are you, Bobby Kennedy, saying it's bad? See, we haven't considered that angle. Trump wants to know from Kennedy, why is he saying, why is he crapping on my Nobel Prize prospects right now for Operation Warp Speed? How do you think that works itself out, Hody?
I think Trump, okay, you're saying Trump will say his mind. I think Trump will tell lies if he doesn't care, right? Like, he'll just say whatever people want to hear. And so he took credit not only for closing down very quickly, but he also took credit for opening up quickly, right? Like, while we talk about how hard he shut down, he also was like, I got college football back, and I'm the reason they had the Super Bowl, and,
right.
Like other silly things that ended up not really being true. But, you know, he was aware that there were people who wanted to shut down and people who wanted to open up, and he wanted to appease both of them, and so he said both things, right? Like, he pretended to, he's playing both sides of this field.
Sure.
So I don't think this only goes against half of what he said. Well, at this point, there's a tweet for everything, right? Trump is already going against half of what he said. No matter what he says, Trump is, previous Trump and current Trump are not on the same page. And so the idea that, I don't think this is going to really derail him all that much. It, you know, if they say, oh, the vaccine was terrible and it killed a bunch of people, Trump's going to be like, I'm the one who found out that the vaccine killed a bunch of people. You know, like, he can just switch it, right? I mean, at this point, they're attacking literal rape victims. At this point, MAG is just going to do whatever, right? So he doesn't have to worry about being consistent, you know? And so, like, he is, I think, going to push forward this idea that, you know, hey, if RFK says the vaccine killed a bunch of people, hey, I didn't like Fauci, right? Like, I was not a fan. And now I got to the bottom of this, and now I'm going to save the most lives ever. So I think Trump's going to twist this to be positive, to be honest.
But what do you think RFK's reaction is going to be to Trump saying, release it, I want the truth now, what's actually happening? I mean, those were actual posts from Trump directed at RFK.
Yeah,
very publicly.
No, they're working together. I mean, this is a show, right? This is so Trump. This is so RFK. This is absolutely them coordinating together and saying, hey, I'm going to say, hey, I demand answers now. And what's RFK doing? He's like, I'm working to get the answers right now. He hired that guy, David Greer, who is a total nut job. I'm sorry, but like, this is,
I agree with you,
this is not absolutely somebody who's in the realm of sanity. Like, I don't care how far right you are. You cannot look at his biography and go, oh yes, yes, that seems good. I mean, the right is so against like castrating children when it comes to like trans. This guy castrated children in order to like treat their autism. This guy is absolutely off his meds, right? Like, there's a reason his medical license got revoked. So what he's doing is saying, I demand these answers now. RFK is saying, hey, I'm about to get the answers. He's already said a couple times this last month, like, hey, the answers are coming. Because of course you can conduct this study within, you know, 5 months, right? Well, that's real easy to see if vaccines cause autism within 5 months. I'm sure that's going to happen, right? Like, absolutely. It's absurd. But that's what RFK's angle is on this. He wants to get this report out there. He wants as much credibility behind it as possible. And he wants to say, hey, Trump asked, and I delivered. And that's what RFK's angle on this is going to be. Now he's all of a sudden got saying, hey, this was a commission by the president who wanted to, this isn't just an RFK thing. The president wanted to see if what the truth of these vaccines. And behold, I gave you this totally unbiased study, which now finds, yes, they do cause autism, brought to you by the guy who castrated kids because he thought vaccines cause autism.
Right. And let's also encapsulate this because we're wrapping up the show.
Yeah.
Like Senator Mullen today, during this situation with RFK, if you ever want to see like vaccine deniers, autism vaccine causative link advocates and stuff, just listen to Senator Mullen. I listened to it, and the only thing that flashed through my head is we live in an idiocracy. The people of, what is it, Oklahoma, just elected someone who is doing like ridiculous math. He can't get the math right. He made a statement, 1 in 36 have autism. If that's not a pandemic, what is? It used to be 1 in 10,000. Can any of you guys with a straight face say that we shouldn't look at every aspect to what we're putting in our kids, be it from the food to the vaccines? And my reply to him was, what makes you think we haven't, you effing hack? I can't believe that you sit there, a U.S. senator, for you to make that statement shows the ignorance of not paying attention to anything in this subject. It actually shows what Hody and I were talking about. At some point, you have to say, be very Socratic about the whole thing and say, I must acknowledge what I don't know. I must acknowledge what I can't understand. There have been so many dedicated scientists looking to answer that question for at least four decades that I know of, right?
And this is a guy who looked into a camera and didn't know how to pronounce like riboflavin and was like riboflavin.
Yeah, you're talking about RFK. Yeah,
RFK,
yeah, yeah,
right? Yeah. These are people who are telling you, oh, they don't know what's even in your food anymore. The guy doesn't know what literal vitamin B is. He doesn't know what vitamin B is. Why in the heck is this guy our Health and Human Services Secretary?
Yeah, and as we were talking, just to wrap it up, he's still a believer in miasma theory. He thinks that germs are a fabrication. He thinks germs, the generic term, are just fabrications. They're made up by pharmacists and doctors to sell you medications. He is going back, no joking, he believes that bad air is what makes you sick. We're talking about stuff that existed during the Black Plague. He's going back to those theories of disease transmission. So when you have someone like that, who in my opinion is nothing more than a voodoo doctor, he's a voodoo witch doctor as far as I'm concerned, and he's running our nation's healthcare system. Although, Hody, I will give one thing. I did see an interview with Senator Kennedy from Louisiana. You know, that older dude, is it John Kennedy, I think? Republican. And he actually said, he goes, I'm not even making a judgment on the validity of what Bobby Kennedy is saying. But I will say one thing. He was put in that position to restore the American people's faith in the government's ability to run a healthcare program, and he's done nothing of the sort, and it's like a multi-vehicle accident at CDC right now. And that's, I think, coming from a Republican senator, you have to start admitting things. RFK has done nothing positive at CDC, at HHS. He has done nothing positive, and all he's done is create more turmoil, more chaos, and more distrust in the federal government. Not that you needed it, but not for this reason, Hody.
Yeah. I mean, if you were to, let's say I was an anti-nuclear energy person, I wouldn't want to hire an anti-nuclear energy person to investigate, like, the radioactivity levels. I would get some radiologist, somebody who understood the science, no opinions, and I'd be like, you study it. You know what I mean? Like, I want this to be as unbiased and untainted as possible. These people who are quitting, to kind of wrap up the entire episode, really, the people who are quitting are saying that's this is the opposite of what's happening. If you are out there and you're listening to me and you're like, no, vaccines do cause autism. Okay, cool. Let's prove that with some unbiased sources as opposed to these biased sources. Like, we didn't get to a lot of the notes we had, but he has hired total quacks to fill these positions.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, the people that he replaced the board with, it's like a podcasters that dropped out of high school. I mean, these are not like these are not people who are serious, right? Like, this is the problem, is that we need some seriousness. And so I want to say, if you're going to embrace a conspiracy theory, listen, I don't know what happened with World Trade Center 7, right? Like, that's maybe a legitimate conspiracy. Why does it gain legitimacy? Because there are informed people and informed opinions that clash on this, right? That inform this and tell me what, like, help can try to help explain what happened. All right. You know, I still don't know what happened, but at least I can accept them and be like, yeah, there's some wiggle room there. The reason the Wuhan thing ended up working out is because they made verifiable claims, and it was from people that understood. It was knew better. They dug. They said, hey, this guy quoted from here. We talked to this guy who actually works at that center. It's more information as opposed to less information. And so what RFK is doing is taking people with less information and making them in control of the dispersal of that information. It's a real problem. I think that what RFK is doing is possibly long-term the most dangerous thing the Trump administration is doing, but I'll have to, we'll have to see what that what the Department of War gets up to over these next
couple years. That might be the next episode. All right. Before we sign off, I just want to let everyone remember, it's always much harder to disprove nonsense than to prove a truth. And that's what's going on with RFK right now. All right, everyone, you've been watching Free For All with the hostster, Hody Johns, and myself, Big John. Join us every week right here at Grumblings Media, grumblingsmedia.com, on YouTube, Facebook, X, and Rumble. You can also follow us at grumblingsmedia.com. Until then, until next time, every Thursday night, 10 p.m., thank you to all our listeners and viewers. By the way, thank you for your questions in the chat. We appreciate it. We'll catch you again next week. Peace, everyone.